thank you for coming and attending to this meeting. I just want to remark on a few things. One, to thank members for the manner in which they conducted themselves during the visit, our visit by the Namibian delegation. I think we really were fit. I actually took a short visit, actually. One could not differentiate between the ruling party and the opposition. It was like you were saying, we can fight when we are all by ourselves, but once we get somebody from outside, then we are back again. That was very good, really. I think we conducted ourselves very well, but also the answers that we provided were spot on. In fact, after the meeting, the gentleman from the international relations came to say to me, they will always consider us if there are delegations from other countries, because he thought that we really wanted to come. And it couldn't have been just a chairperson, but you need to trust yourself that we did very comfortable. I think really I want to thank members for this and to say please keep it happening. Secondly, I think I want to again apologize to members for changing time. There were some few challenges. And we thought that if we stick to 9:30, we might come here and find that we don't have the documents. And we thought it is safe if we perform timely, so that when we come here, we already have a document. Also, I think I want to thank Mr. Sean Tate for assisting us in compiling this very important document, which will serve as our light, but also something to move towards or to achieve during this 5-year term. And I think we really want to thank him for volunteering to assist us. Because we are receiving this document here and now, and I know members have not gone through it, I think it would be proper that we take at least maybe 20-30 minutes to go through the document, and then following that we will then make our input and decide on whether we can adopt or we should probably adopt this document next week in our meeting, or if we think we can with amendments, we can actually adopt it today. But we have up to the 18th of September to submit this document, so we can actually decide that maybe we adopt it next week, but today we make necessary amendments. We therefore have two documents. The first one, which has all the writing and of course the actual draft plan, which is arranged according to topics such as legislation, in fact, legislation, yes, and then regulation to legislation, policy review issues, oversight, function. I think it goes as far as that. And then, of course, we have, and then strategic relations. Then we have this other document. It's the same thing, the same information. There are two. This one sets the arrangement is according to topics, legislation, regulation, policy review, blah, blah, blah. And then we have this one. It's the same information but arranged according to years. That 2009, this is what we will be looking at. 2010, this is what we will be looking at. But it's the same information. So, I think that I've got to allow members just to go through the document and check on things that we think are missing and add them, or things that we think we can subtract, starting even with the vision, if we think the vision is properly constructed, and make our input on it. So time now is 20 to 11. Let's check if by 11 will not be ready to enter the kitchen.
Okay. Chair McCurry, just to special assist members, on page 4 of this document with a parliamentary logo on, it's a paragraph headed key issues facing the committee. And that really is a summary of the key issues that came out of the three working groups during the strategic planning session at the hotel. So allow members then to look and see if anything's missing there or anything needs to be added. Those have been taken through into the matrix.
If you're referring to the criminal law amendment bill, does that not fall under justice, or is it going to be a joint sitting? Because I know they are looking at the different procedures. Criminal law, the criminal law amendment bill. I thought it was under justice. Are we sitting together with it? But even if it goes to justice, I think it should be a joint.
Thank you.
statement that we can now receive because we have page, maybe we just give you time to take us through before we cover it.
Thank you. Then we would start with the document with the parliamentary cover on, which is the issue. And so the first page is just the background, identifying the vision and mission of the committee, its oversight role, its tools used in the oversight, its core objectives, and then the key issues facing the committee. As I mentioned, those key issues were drawn out of the group discussion at the strategic workshop, and if there's anything missing, the useful place to identify that, and then move on. There are some typos and spelling errors that we'll pick up as we go along. So under policy on page 5, you see it's a review of the National Crime Prevention Strategy. So the word prevention is listed there. We'll add to that in terms of finalizing this. The next section then identifies issues. And what we've done as well is take the inputs made at the strategic plan in terms of when we or when the staff said that they were anticipating presenting legislation and plot these into the strategic plan. So you'll see that 2009, particularly the fourth quarter of 2009, is very congested with potential legislation. Whether that actually comes through or not, I don't know. It's probably up to the committee to prioritize and identify which go through to 2010 and which you'll see in 2009. At the moment, speaking to Nadia, it's the sports and recreation store, which is currently being considered, and the forensic store, which will be coming through. The others, I'm not sure. One of the issues while I was developing this as well is really around how the department staff secretaries are held accountable for the progress of legislation. And some of these things have been on the agenda for a very long time. When legislation is highlighted and then just never appears or is delayed in making it. Also, perhaps just to note on page 9 and 10 of the matrix on legislation, you have the South African Student Service Bill 2010, and then at the bottom of page 10, the ICT legislation. Now, the South African Police Bill was mentioned in the presentation made by staff at strategic planning. The ICT legislation came up in discussion by members during the debate and also during the working group. So it's been plotted in there, but that was the only reference to particular ICT legislation. The two other, along with the forensic bill, under regulation on page 13, the regulations with respect to the director's priority crime investigation, the whole, that wasn't mentioned by staff at the strategic planning session. So we brought that in terms of the consideration of regulations around the amendment book. Again, remember just to bear that in mind and then to consider whether we can do it or not or how we deal with that. On the issue of, and then moving on to the next section, on the issue of the South African Police Service Bill and the ICT legislation, it's listed there as 2010, and in terms of the progress of the prescription, that's the point that were on page 9 and 10. The South African Police Service Bill to consider that in 2010, and the ICT legislation to consider that in 2010. When you're looking at the program for 2009, there are many reviews and interactions and assessments that will impact directly on the consideration of that legislation. If you turn to page 14 on policy review, perhaps page 15 is a better place to start on that front. We'll see the mentions made on sector policing policy, partnership policing policy, the reserve policy, the review of the national crime prevention strategy, the review of the national crime combating strategy, and the criminal justice review. All of those were mentioned in the presentation, and discussion on those policies and interaction with those policies will impact on consideration on those draft bills and obviously service amendments on the ICT legislation, etc. And that's why they kind of telescoped in place in 2009 so that we're able to engage with those ahead of the bill, the draft legislation being tabled. If we continue on that section on policy review, there's two types of policy that have been placed under the broad heading of policy review simply to make the reading easier. The one is the policy that is national. We look on page 16. Those are policies which are more of national application. The review of the NCCS, the review of the National Crime Combating Strategy, and the criminal justice review. Whereas the other policies mentioned on page 15, the sector policing, partnership policing, and reservist policy, those are more internal SAP operating policies. And I think there's a difference in how the committee considers perhaps a review of the NCCS and a review of the policing partnership policy, and how that can be better laid out and perhaps also a point of discussion. From page 17 onwards, the oversight role of the committee is then documented in relation to the various agencies. So it starts with the Secretariat of State and Security on 17, on 18 the staff, and then on 22, the ICD. It identifies those issues that the committee will, as a matter of course, need to consider on an annual basis. So the scrutiny of the budget, the review of the performance plan, and then the scrutiny of the annual report. In the annual plan, which is the next document, these are then just broken up, and so they appear each year as a review of the budget annual report. The review of the strategic plans are important because it is time now for the staff, the secretaries, and the ICD to be developing and taking their 5-year plans. These are highlighted as appearing in 2009 in the next document, but again, it's a question of whether those actually come through this year or whether they come through next year. If they do come through, they're going to be critical in terms of setting the tone for subsequent budgeting and reviews of annual reports. On the oversight of SAP, which is on page 18, following on from the business which the committee needs to cover, annual report, budget, and strategic plan, we move on to substantive issues that were raised during the strategic planning session. So included there is the annual performance review of the corps, and then a section on the police restructuring program, which is on page 19. And this gets carried through as one of the central themes for the 5-year term of the committee, but looks at the evaluation of the restructuring process and the current local level restructuring, the constant monitoring of the performance of the plastic one, which now carry the weight that the area used to carry in those. Very important link between the provincial offices and the local stations. The whole question of communication and popularization, skills analysis, etc., of the plastic one is also under that. Then the flagging of the next level of restructuring, which is that of provincial and national level, being put on hold until the appointment of the new National Commissioner. That is due to kick off now, and again, there's a monitoring stream on how that national provincial restructuring is conceptualized and carried out and taken through. And then finally, the performance restructuring location of the specialized unit. combat intake. On the specialized units, the area that received the most consideration of the strategic plan was that of the FCS unit. And that is brought through on page 21, where there's a specific focus area on promoting effective policing of crime against women and children. So we highlight the functioning of the family, the child, and sexual offences unit in that discussion as well. Then, going back to page 19 and 20, again, the other key issues that emerged from the strategic planning was the performance of the sectors, divisions, intelligence, forensics, the communication strategy, skill retention, anti-corruption, and fraud prevention. So each of those require specific assessment and oversight. And the way in which that oversight is designed is down the KPI column, which is requesting and considering reports from the relevant authorities, undertaking oversight visits, and identifying three provinces at least for the year to be able to assess the performance against the countries. The committee is undertaking oversight visits next week to KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. So that's one of the considerations, would be how to maximize those oversight visits by including some of the priority areas, the future priority areas that the committee has got. If you look on the bottom of page 21, monitoring of service delivery, that relates directly to the station monitoring tool, and also a tool to assist the committee in its oversight visits. The activities within that second column really just to draw your attention to the establishment of the task team to develop the monitoring tool and data capturing system. The presentation that Nadia made at that workshop was around how we simplify that tool and how we're able to bring the priorities identified by the committee for this term, be it promoting effective policing against women and children or borderline policing, etc., to bring those into the monitoring tool and define it. Which would then be used and taken through. I think the oversight of the ICD follows the same pattern, but on page 23, just to highlight the specific issues that were raised. So obviously the vacancy issue was one. The SAP compliance with ICG recommendations is another. The extent to which the ICD has granted access to the tax system. The ICD's reporting on compliance by the tax with the DEA. That links back to that issue that's highlighted under the SAP oversight part around promoting policing crimes against women and children. The function of the proactive oversight unit, and then the discussion around possibly expanding the ICD mandate to include death as a result of police negligence. And those again are highlighted because they would also have impact on the consideration of possible ICD legislation later on. So how they frame in time is worth bearing in mind. Then on page 24, not the ICD as a heading, but the private security industry regulatory authority, and this overseeing the restructuring and functioning of TILA. And particular activities there, obviously, now that TILA or ASIRA is restructured in 5-year plan of operations ahead, but then particular areas noted in terms of compliance with relevant legislation was the application of the Firearms Control Act, the vetting of security guards, quality assurance around training of security guards, partnerships with staff, which links back to that policy on policing partnership, and then the streamlining of administration, which is around the bureaucracy in which the security industry operates, and the speed with which those issues can be progressed. And then the final area is strategic relations. Building the collaboration and maximizing the capacity of the committee through strategic partnerships with the select committees, MEPs, standing committees, and other parliamentary committees. It links back to the joint consideration of certain legislation. other opportunities that do arise for the committee to maximise its work. So we are aware that the committee on the status of women is currently undertaking a review of the application of the Domestic Violence Act. So how this committee can link in and with the work of that committee to deal with some of its strategic objectives is going to be useful. And in that sense, we said it as the plan develops. As we become more aware of the strategic plans of work of the committee, they may come to the 18th. And then, as the chair mentioned, we can move on to the next document, which is on an annual basis. It could be taking those activities and then presenting them in what an annual work plan would look like, and the time frame very roughly identifying the sessions under which you would consider the various pieces of legislation. I think perhaps most important here is around the third and fourth session of this committee, which is very congested, but is largely dependent on whether we see that legislation actually coming through or not. And I suppose it is appropriate for the committee to decide where and how we want to place the board will be as that legislation comes through, simply having to prioritize and enjoy it. But certain things obviously are going to be on the agenda, such as the review of the annual report and the strategic plans if they do come through. And then in the subsequent years, it becomes far less congested and then very promising.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shirley. That is the presentation. I think we can now move to the document. I think I took proper that we start with this one. I'm probably on page by page, that is in order. How to read this? Page 1, the vision and mission. I don't know if that member is what the input from them.
Thank you, Chair. On page 1, the mission, in bullet 2, we're talking about optimizing and overseeing the greater action. We mentioned those organs continue to say, and other entities. When you go to page 2, you'll mention both entities. What do you mean by other entities? Core objectives.
I think it's accommodating the Constitution when it says the committee can invite any person, individual, or any organization for the matter to come before the committee. I think it is just accommodating that it will not only be this, but it can be anything beyond this, according to the Constitution. But the country.
No, I think thank you, Jefferson. I think any other it's inclusive. It takes on board if you want to check with the Department of Sports, if you want to check with the Department of Defense, which is not listed here, if you want to check with any other portfolio as a security portfolio, therefore it takes on board. It's inclusive because immediately you don't put that. that means you are restricting yourself to exactly what you are what you're going to do.
So we're moving on to page 2. Anything we want to raise on page 2?
I want to ask you, Chairperson, on the institution of committee to deal with those entities that are written there. How do you prioritize them? Because it's important to prioritize them, because we must know which one comes first. Because they may be doing different things, but according to me, the priority is very important to know which one comes first. I'm not proposing anything, but I think the committee has to sit down and see how far we prioritize those things. Because if you put it like that, you can take number audit general as number one, only to find that maybe private security companies is number one. It's something like that. Let's deal with these things correctly and see how do we prioritize them. Or are they being prioritized as they've done now?
Prioritization of these institutions. Because I said that personal institutions include auditor general. And every institution maybe should be an example of the just aligned institutions such as auditor general. I think we can probably prioritize them.
No, I'm not saying for today, Chairperson.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying for today, Chairperson. But you just look at it in prioritization. What comes first? Which is maybe if you sit down with your research, they may tell you which comes first and so on and so forth.
Members,
my apologies
for running late. I'm one of the polygamists. I'm having several portfolio points at the same time. But that's okay. I don't understand the point that is raised by my colleague there. To prioritize, because it's quite clear that these institutions, I mean, these are the things that we need to consult. And to me, I would say people first, for instance. When we say society of civilian society of organizations, we may argue that endlessly. What I'm trying to say is that for the purpose of the oversight role, do we need really to say we prioritize in terms of this? It's not going to be a nightmare. I would say whatever is contained there, unless there is one thing that is not contained there, then we must actually put it. Because if, for instance, there's an issue on auditor general that crops up now, although it is stable last there, it's settled. That's my understanding. That's why I say I don't understand. Seemingly tell you. Yes, I'm understanding. So I just want my chair to get me on board.
Thanks, sir. The caption there says institutions, the community test for, they are just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They are mentioned. So there is no prioritization here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So it could seem like we can take these institutions and say, I don't know whether there's any that is missing or we have all of them. Okay. We're moving on, that is chapter 2.
We didn't have a great deal of time to look through it, so I may have missed it, but it seems to me that nowhere in this document are we referring to the objective of decreasing crime. I thought that was actually the prime objective of every one of the institutions that we oversee. Certainly, there doesn't seem to be an oversight. The stats always laid out. Yes, the aim is to decrease X crime by X percent, 7 to 10%, etc. Year after year, we hear that. But then we never do oversight and pull them in and say, okay, this you set as your objective, and the previous year, and the previous year. Now, in some crimes, you may have got close, others aren't even on the radar. Why? We've never actually held SAT to account in an oversight manner, as it were. We might go to individual details. Okay, this one's slipping in this area, they haven't got. But the top structure, we've actually never called them to account for making claims, oh, we're going to do this, and then not doing it. So, yeah, I'm just concerned, and I thought that perhaps under core objectives, to pass laws aimed at ensuring a decrease in crime rates. I mean, is that not our main thrust? That's what I thought maybe should be added there.
Well, you are already on page 3. So we're done with this page 2.
Yeah.
The suggestion that we say to pass laws that are that will actually decrease the rate of crime.
General, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think we can limit it to pass laws in terms of reduced crime, because we might also pass laws that deals with management or deals with oversight, like the Secretariat and the ITB. But I don't have a problem that we put in that we pass laws to reduce crime, ensure more efficient police management, whatever we want to add to that. But I just wanted to say, I don't think it's true that we've never called SAPs. But I think what happened last year, and that is maybe a concern, is that we didn't do a proper review of the annual report last year. And that is the opportunity we normally have to call them to task for not achieving their goals. And I think if that is one of the things that we want to add, then we can add that. And may I just say, on tools used for oversight, I think the one, two things that I miss is the physical visits to police stations or to training institutions, and the monitoring tools as further tools that we use to conduct oversight. And my apologies for being late. I just didn't get to the
work. Okay. Since I visit the police station, training school.
Yeah, I would suggest that, I mean, the monitoring tool, I agree, instead of trying to specify what type of visit, we just say they're on site visit.
Yeah.
I think that is a problem, because I was just thinking about the forensic laboratory, and the people who came to me, I think what you remember also is raising is that probably it's not, I mean, this is not actually emphasizing on the difference. We should not do that. So, of course, let's move on.
This is a very minor point at the very top of page.
Thank you, Chair. Core objective one,
yes.
Bullet number one. The committee will pass bill that should be built soak. That's the first thing that I wanted to correct there. Core objective two, the committee will use different mechanisms to oversee the executive budget. You see, when we divide this committee, the other half goes to KwaZulu-Natal, and the other half goes to the Eastern Cape. That becomes subcommittees. So I'm just concerned that we don't deal here with, I don't see the word subcommittee. Because it gave us authority that at some stage because of our overload, we can do that. So I wanted to propose that there will be subcommittees also that will, that mechanism can be used. Thanks.
They have a view that we slot in subcommittees that will cover ourselves. I would have thought that even subcommittees will be doing that for the committee.
Yes.
In fact, sometimes it will be individual and who will come back to report to the committee.
And the committee take a decision there.
And the committee.
Whatever
that we will be doing, we do it for the committee.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay,
we're moving on. Okay. If there's nothing on page 3, then we're moving on to page 4.
Sorry. I wanted not to raise this. Because under core objectives there, I think just it's again the fine tune that phrase. In order to achieve its core business, community provided with those things. I don't understand when you say that. In achieving its core business objective. I think in order to achieve its core objective, we will need to.
That's a very good English. I didn't know that you were an English speaker.
That's lawyer's sickness. When you read that, you feel the lawyer's sickness.
Okay, moving on to page 2.
We can't hear. Why are the members speaking as if he's speaking to his platform? So because we can't hear.
They said it's because the mic is on.
No, mine is working. Mine is working. It's working somehow.
I was just wanted clarity about this bill that, for instance, Section 29, which in another department. When are we going to help the progress that is? Well, I saw in the when they put the 2009, I will deal with that probably when we deal with that, because I'm not sure when we put the 2009 is practical, put all the things that take into consideration that 2009 is only left with the things I can't count, but it's very. But I just wanted to know where are we in terms of this bill? Are we at the process started or we're talking about, because if they are in another portfolio for this bill.
May I pray for your indulgence? Because we are dealing with page, I think you are dealing with page 4 or 5. It's just a list of what will happen today. Can my oral member hold his horses, because I want to ask the same question, but when it comes to the timetable of the bills, because now I think it's just a list of what will happen to the committee. Because there is some questions that will arise when it comes to the timetable of the bill itself. But at this moment, I think it's just a list of what should happen to the committee. Mm-hmm. If you can take it like that, Chairperson, maybe it will assist us.
I think you have to take it like that, but also keeping in mind what the Sean said, that we, as a result of our deliberation and presentation,
Yeah. Department
and this was then the outcome. So we're moving on then
Should be oversight. What is the answer? Because if you look at the core objective 4, that's number 1, maybe delegates from other countries. It depends what do you mean by that. You're meeting them here or you're meeting them where they are. It depends. I'm not asking this as a Bush lawyer, but I'm just asking it for the clarity. Because if you talk about international, what do you mean? We are international this side. If they are coming to us, we are going to them. But to meet, we are meeting them as delegates. Where are we? What are we trying? Are we trying to duplicate that, or are we trying to expand on that? I'm just asking for the sake of understanding of what we are agreeing. Because I thought that it was covered. When I look at international relations, and then the first dot made with delegations from other countries, that means we can go to them or they can come to us. It depends where we are. This is how I saw it. I may be educated. Don't forget that I'm a rural guy.
Only when it suits you.
You said only need that excuse.
I don't think it's really relevant. The principle is that we need to have international relations, whether it's us going there or them coming here.
That's covered.
Yeah, it's covered.
Sorry. Does that mean that the proposal falls away?
No. Because,
fine, if it's not falls away, I have no problem. Thank you very much.
Yes, I need some guidance here. We're looking at legislation, and you're talking legislation in relation to the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill. Again, that would have to be with justice, I presume. But Section 49 has already, the apartheid era legislation was changed by an appeal to the Constitutional Court, which gave a ruling. Now, I don't know what the procedure is. Does this committee have a right to attempt to overturn a constitutional court ruling? I'm not sure. I need guidance. I'm not debating anything. I'm asking the question and guidance of the chair.
I think it is correct. Because for now, this is what the Department presented to us. And whether we will agree with the Department or disagree with the Department, I think that is something that we can actually disagree with the Department. Mm-hmm. The portfolio committee will say we are presenting the fact we think this is unconstitutional. I think that's how we see. But for now, the Department, as we discussed in our test panel show, said this is one other amendment that we want us to complete. So I think it is important. Because whether we disagree or agree, we have to have time to disagree, to look at it and disagree. So I think it's important for that reason that it is here.
Page 5.
I thought we've done page 5. I remember I didn't ask.
In the hours of discussion on that last afternoon. One of the things that we raised, which would be important, was the whole issue of career path, as well as remuneration as well. I've gone through the document, and I don't see anything about that so much. Maybe I've missed it, but it wasn't as discussed quite clearly.
I'm sorry that I might be taking mistake, but I'm a bit concerned here. We're talking page 5. We're talking about dangerous weapons bill. To me, a dangerous weapon is a weapon that is used to kill and maim another people unlawfully. And many people are keeping these weapons with them, not to protect themselves, but to kill innocent people. I just wanted to check here, what are these dangerous weapons? Because they become dangerous.
We did have, if I remember correctly, and Anneliese will remember that, we did have a presentation by Legal, and they put together, and it included everything from paintball guns to tasers to toothpicks to name it, anything. And then we went through and said, no, come on, this is a bit ridiculous. You can't shut down children's games and all the rest. And they went through. So believe me, they have tried to remove anything that anybody could ever use, from a slingshot to a rubber band. So it has to be gone through quite carefully. There are many, many, many women who travel alone at night in a vehicle who carry a taser. Not necessarily in Cape Town, but certainly in Durban. If you don't, your windows are smashed, and people hold them up. The women, common sense, they hold it up like this, and the guys turn around, walk off again, go and pick another car to smash the windows in. So, you know, there are a lot of issues to be gone through about disempowering people who are under threat.
And cut out all the weapons.
Well, that's
a
helpful weapon in Durban these days.
Which one? I think cut out all the weapons, as well.
I don't think there is enough specific information about that. I mean, there's nothing that I can see in the public that says specifically what we want to achieve with it, and that was that we want to be able to ensure that tax implement recommendations are large. And I don't think that's clearly enough spelled out anywhere. And then also, I also don't see anything about, we had a lot of discussion about the e-docker system and the integration between us and correctional services and us.
And the integration of that, you know, that whole computer system. I don't see that here. Yes, I think that's true. Any other hints? Okay. I referred a little earlier to oversight of that in making claims that don't necessarily reach and no one's ever held to account, as it were. So there's little oversight in that regard. And I thought here would be the ideal place to assert it. Oversight of that, achievement of targets. Because throughout that, they report, they say, oh yes, these are all our targets, and they sound wonderful, and the next year you never know if they actually ever achieve them or not. So this might be a good place to insert it.
Chairperson, I also would like to, if possible, I know I wasn't at the workshop, but so if I'm out of order, just indicator. But I think oversight over the training of that. Training remains a big concern. Because, I mean, we've got all the numbers, but we don't get the results. So somewhere we've got to start looking at training. Why are we not getting results?
Sorry, an issue that's come to my attention only after the workshop, and I really think we should include it, so I've put it to the committee for consideration. And apparently, there's a huge problem with father time that is not being dealt with properly by SAT tackles. And they don't have, I don't know if they've got a unit, I have a question about whether there is in fact a father time unit, because they're supposed to be, but if there is, it's apparently incredibly few people. And the problem, especially with 2010, with child pornography and pedophiles and so on, apparently they laugh at South Africa because they say it's so easy just to get onto the computer legal. I mean, I've got an instance where this person put on about over 1,000 sites on the internet where advertising his ex-girlfriend's services with it against her will. And there's no control over that. And I would really like if you could consider that as a priority to the community to actually ensure that legislation is in place with necessary or, and that the prime minister actually confess that and punch it.
I just want to know, for my educational purposes, how do you assess the intelligence performance?
No, Jefferson, it is possible. I mean, even if it's just a question of them coming to the committee and explaining what they're doing, obviously it would most probably be a close meeting if they come. But it's definitely possible for them to indicate what successes they've had and how many, you know, how many informers they have. Because it's actually a very important question, because it's got financial implications as well, especially the whole issue around informers. It's always been a very thorny issue. In terms of the budgeting and how they keep funds and how they deal with those funds. I think Mululeki, the Honourable George will remember from past as well, that it's always been quite an issue. So it is possible to do that. And I don't think we must, because we haven't done it in a long time, not do it. We might even want to say to intelligence, assist us in what are the right questions, the intelligence committee, assist us what are the right questions to ask these
people. Now, right now.
I think there are a lot of things we can ask without a special report, but because let's begin with the issue of the attack on xenophobia. There's still one question everybody asks. Why, if after information this was meeting that planned, why was it not picked up by intelligence area before, so that, because I think prevention of crime is more important. That's the role of the intelligence, is to help in the prevention of crime. So I think we can ask some questions to make sure that we take are sharp enough to help in the prevention of crime.
Chair, there were two other things that I thought we need to maybe detail on under oversight. One is CDA. I see there's an anti-rape strategy that's been referred to later in the document, but certainly implementation of the Domestic Violence Act. I think that, as an oversight, I think we really need to follow that. I don't know if it should fall under the ICD or who. Either way, it needs to go somewhere. And also the implementation or lack thereof or whatever of the firearm legislation. I mean, you've seen the ruling in the paper, that's now going to cost millions and millions. We told them it would happen, and they just ignored the legislation, and now it's come back to bite. And there are at least three other court cases coming up about it. So I think the firearms legislation is something we really need to look at very closely. And the appeals mechanism, there are thousands of cases just left lying, and none of it's working as it was initially proposed.
I think that we can then proceed to good or effective service.
Madam, before you proceed, just one question to follow up. You promised us that you would bring the people responsible for this violence, domestic violence act. Well, I think
we did say, even when we're talking about the budget, we do need a basis as to exactly what is the problem. Because you see, police talking in citizen polls, I think it would help us if you could have arrange a meeting with the portfolio committee for the police to deal with white domestic violence, so that they can tell us, so that we can understand, even before we even look at the act, what are the problems? Where are the problems? Because all the excuses given do not make sense to me. So let's have them telling us what is the problem in so far as the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, so that when we talk of, when we look at the act, we have been informed as to where the weaknesses are.
Well, I think what you are actually saying, not agree with
is
the domestic violence
test,
so that we can then
decide
on whether we get members coming to
educate the decision,
we check if there's
a
need for amendment, but it should be.
In fact, what I was trying to
find,
Madam Chair,
is
that it is S.
Okay. No, I think
that is a head.
My apologies for coming late. No? I'm a new.
What? Yeah. Nothing things are
working. No, mine is working. My voice is loud enough for people to hear me. Yeah, as a new member, I'm not too sure because I never attended any meeting. Here on the oversight, I don't know where the community police forum comes in, so that we check when we do oversight that do all patients have police warrants, and if yes, are they trying to do what they are supposed to do?
Participation, you know, because I think that is covered, because you have your community policing forum, your community safety forums, your street committees, and so on. So it's covered under that. So I think we can include that community participation.
But I should think, Chair, is it not already covered on page 14, both community and community safety forums, on page 14 at the bottom?
Yeah, it is actually there, but I think she was raising it as an oversight issue. Yes. And I think one other thing we kept on referring to was the capacity of people who are managing, particularly our institutions such as police station. We said everything, and we'll always go back to that, to that capacity of our managers, ability to take decisions, to hold people accountable. I should think it should be there somehow. Okay, we're moving on to page 7 now. Those are the legislation.
Sorry, just on this, under the secretariat, I think something that we haven't done, and that we is to look at the provincial secretariats. I mean, some of them are receiving budgets 4, 5, 6 times that of the national secretariat, and we don't see the output of that. Yeah, that's why I said maybe we should include provincial secretariats as well.
Provincial secretariat, yes. Anything else on page 6?
We'll discuss when we get the report on the secretary. There's always been this confusion between the legal department and the secretary. They're supposed to be drafting laws, but I don't know now, because in the last week, in the 5 years, they didn't draft any law. It was more drafted by the legal team in the department. And so much, at some stage, this is what some of us, when they were presenting us, asking, what is now, because I think what you should do now is to redefine the work of the secretary. Because from what I see, it doesn't look like they're doing what they were. Because the work they were meant to do seems to be done by some people within the department. And even
Because even in advising the minister on putting, there are people who do that, starting from the National Commission and others. So I think probably when that time comes, we're going to have to look thoroughly at the issue of the petition. What is the budget? Because you remember when they were here, even for budget, they could not answer that question. Because the money is put on them, but you don't know exactly what is their responsibility now. With all the overlap, some more, most of the overlap done somewhere within the Department of the Police.
I just say, Mr. George wasn't at the briefing with the Namibian delegation. I did speak to Ms. Barnard, and Ms. Law wasn't there either. But the fact is there's a new secretary appointed. And I think what we need to do is to, at some point, call the new secretary to hear what is the vision for the future and how they're going to approach it. It's Ms. Jenny Irish Kubushiani. Okay.
Can we deal with that on page 17 when it comes to Secretariat?
Okay.
Oversight, I don't know as to where really can we fit in the issue of Metropolis.
Very important.
Where? Where? As an oversight.
It's an oversight, yes.
Yes.
It's an oversight. Page 5. You should be on page 5.
It's on the list of institutions to we deal with, but
yes.
Not anywhere where we have to call it before us, you know.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't we add the point 5 and call it municipal police? Because it's an entity on its own. Yeah. Of the CROC municipal police.
Yeah.
Or I make it on its own,
yeah.
Or in San Luis.
Okay. So could I ask, what is our mandate in relation to Metro? Is it not more a provincial, municipal mandate? Are we not now going to be treading on toes that are going to object?
No. It's ours.
I'm pretty sure Ms. Law will add it, but definitely there's nothing stopping the provincial legislature also to look at municipal police. But it is definitely a competency of this committee to look at municipal police. First of all, the training standards for municipal police are supposed to be established by the National Commissioner. And they've got even vetting and things like that they're involved in. But it's definitely would be within our right to have a look at that.
So, can I just ask a question around that? It's really clarity on my own mind. Does that include operational issues?
No.
Not
really. So I'll tell you why the question I'm asking is that when I was in transport, one of the things that kept on coming up the need for traffic police and metro police, etc., to be declared or to be made an essential service. But that thing just keeps on slipping. That's why I'm asking it. So it's not operational. So even that wouldn't fall under that. That's
the
question I'm asking.
I must disagree. Not entirely correct. There are operational areas which fall under police. You see, one of the things why the Act was amended, it was the mess up the Metro Police were doing, especially in crime scenes. Because sometimes they are the first to arrive at crime scenes. You must understand that they also don't have investigating power. That is why there was this area that police must be involved in their training so that when they reach the crime scene, they must be able to know what they must do in the crime scene. Because crime scene in any investigation is very important. You mess up there, the case is gone. So I would not say, because that's operation, I would not say they are completely, because one of the reasons why they act was to make sure that area where the metro must arrest and make sure it must be in line with police, so that
so that they are monitored by the police. I'm saying the area, for instance, if you talk the traffic cops, but Metro Police sometimes they arrest. Once they arrest somebody in the crime activity, that falls, that operational, that's why I say, we shouldn't say any operation of them does not fall under the police. That's why, but we can we'll discuss it when we have time.
No, I do remember vividly when we amended it. He was the chairperson of the committee. I do remember we were doing the policy of Metro Police, but the implementation or the operational side was left with the provinces and the municipalities to direct them. Where he's talking about, Mr. George is talking about, he's talking about the regulation, how do they function every now and then. That was left with the province to make sure that they function in conjunction with them, supervised by them. But we were in charge of the training and making sure that they are fit to do the job and so on. That's the only part. That's where we're coming, on the policy front, and making sure who comes in and so on, who leaves it. But the operational side is the province and the city itself that looks after that.
Yeah, I think members, we right, we are agreeing that we definitely must have Metro Police
As a subject.
As a subject,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that they must come before us at some stage.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We're moving on to page 7. I think we'll have to move a little bit quicker.
Can I make one question? In this next page, which to me was my concern, because I don't want to move one by one. My concern, yeah, looks like there are a lot of things that is important. Have this been put in this court session. Six and eight in the court session. For instance, there were regulations of this act, the HOC. Regulations are normally very, very complicated because that's the way you have to apply your mind. And that's especially the controversy around the HOC. Regulations are going to be very, it will take us whole court session. Because I saw that the public hearing, normally public hearing you have to announce and give an advertisement, 2 weeks, you ask for response, and then have public hearings and all those things. So I'm just saying, I'm just making that as an example, but I'm just saying, probably what we need to look at all this and look, what is it that is practical? Because once we plug everything, it gives us a very good excuse not to succeed, so that we can say it was not possible. Let's have 2 or 3 things which we can do in the fourth session, because all these things we're putting in the fourth session are not practical. It's not practically possible that we can do that.
Yes. Chairperson, I would support Mr. George. It might not go out of this meeting. but the fact of the matter is, the problem is that this is not dependent on us. It's dependent on what we get from the department and what we get from
exactly.
the entities. So I think we must also be realistic. I mean, those of us who've been in Parliament long enough and who've been in this committee long enough know that the police promise heaven and earth and then they arrive with a beach ball, you know. So I think we must wait for these things to arrive, and then we need to prioritize from our side. I don't think we must... If we go through this one by one now, we're going through an exercise in facility, actually,
yes.
Because we don't know what we are going to get, when we are going to get what, and I think the principal decision that we must make, we will prioritize as they come.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We understand this is not going to happen, but I'm very concerned, and I don't think we should be allowing them to lead us, if you understand. They've decided they're going to work on this one, and they hand it to us when we know that fall down is actually the one that should be receiving our attention. I mean, you might find the ICD bill comes up in 5 years' time, because someone just has pulled it out of a hat and says, oh, no, that's not of interest to us. So I actually think we should be giving them guidance as to what we want to deal with and tell them to get their act together, because they do. They'll keep us waiting for a year. Oh, and I haven't met here, and I haven't met there, and cabinet's taken 6 months, and this one. Everybody blames everybody else, but if you check, actually cabinet dealt with it 4 months ago. Actually, this lot dealt with it 4 months, and it's sitting somewhere. So I think we have to tell them what we want, and not just sit waiting and hoping they might actually get their act together. Yes.
Yes, I agree that it's quite important just for waiting for things to happen. I would say on that, sort of Bernard has been saying now, that that's what we need to do, is we need to actually get as fast as possible. What's the plan? What is it they plan to do for the remainder of this year? Okay. What is the plan for next year? It might be a bit difficult to go beyond that. I would suggest that maybe that's one of the things you could look at, because then you can hold them to you. But the other suggestion I wanted to make, Chair, is that in terms of these documents, because you're not going to finish this one, but I wanted to make the comment that I think this is very helpful in getting us to think out of the box, not just sitting around. I think this document, but I do think that it requires us to take a little bit more time than today to try and go through it. I think that certainly it requires a bit of time for individual parties. I'm not sure what George is going to do. He's also for his own.
Don't try to be faithful.
No, but in all seriousness, I think it requires us to go through this, document. Prioritize. I mean, can I be honest? Let me say this. There might be issues the DA feels are priority for them. So let them go through them. Let them come back. I'm saying let them come back next week. Let them talk. Let them indicate. But I'm saying I think we need to take a little bit more time. And I'm a bit worried. We're going to try and rush it now. But we're going to lose a bit of the value of the stock. That's the point that we want.
Okay.
Check. I thought that Chairperson, when you say we are going page by page, when we are doing with legislation starts from 7 up to page 11, and then from there, I think I understand what the last speaker is saying. We just look at that, and then thereafter, when it comes to this document, the prioritization comes in. What Ms. Van Lego is saying, it's true, but I do understand what Colonel Bernard is saying, that sometimes we have to take the terms. But which terms are we the one to debate? We must agree as a committee. We mustn't find ourselves when they are sitting there, we are sitting this side, and we don't know what to say to them. And you are saying A, and somebody else is saying D, and we are confused. We must agree that at the end of the day, this is our priority, this is what we want, this is what we want to achieve. This is how I look at it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, now I would, I have no problem with what has been said, apart from I would like to make a change from the suggestion that was made in terms of that we get the department. I think what we need to do is let's do what Mr. George indicated earlier. Let's, when we call the Secretary of Police, because that's where it's supposed to be, let's ask her what is the program going to be like realistically, what are you going to come, and then also communicate to her our priorities. Instead of talking to the legal services of SAPS, because quite frankly, the legal services of SAPS, in the end, is a director or somebody at a level who gets instruction from somebody else, and they can't take the decision in the end, or they're told by somebody to delay something. Now, if and Mr. George is correct, if legislation and policy, in fact, is where it's supposed to be with the Secretariat. So I would suggest that we call the new Secretary of Police sooner rather than later, giver this document, say this is what was given to us by the department, can we get your input on what is the actual deadline on these things, and then communicate the committee's priorities. That would be just a change to what Greg has suggested, but the same thing, but not the department that we call the secretariat.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to support Greg, but I was going to request the chapters to have a liaison with the department secretary. So that by that time, when we talk about this thing, at least we understand where they... Because we must understand, it's nice for us here to say we can't be told by them, but we must understand what we call separation of power in the Constitution. The department and the executive, because no legislation is going to come here without going through the executive. So, but what normally helps, I'm advising you from experience, what normally helps, if you've got a good liaison with them in the department, especially the secretariat, it makes your job easy. Because you are able to know, so that when they plan, when they say, for instance, this piece of legislation is already ready to go to the cabinet, then you know now. Then it is because it does not help for us to plan for something that is still sometimes I know they can tell you like that. We're talking about when there is not even a draft. You see, and when there's no draft, it means it can take 2 or 3 years. Before it comes to Parliament. So I'm just saying, I'm adding to what, by that time you should have liaised and check exactly what is practically through the Secretariat as the analyst is saying, so that by the time we meet here, you have some understanding.
No, thank you very much. I think from experience, what is but I am aware that the criminal law forensic procedure amendment bill is already in Parliament. We already have this under our processing, so I should think it's the next bill to come to before us soon. Then, of course, we might take others that might come before us, but that one is already in Parliament. I think that is it. We therefore have, I think we've done, we are covered with legislation. We need to check as advised so that we come here even before we call the secretariat, before the committee, but at least we must have interacted with them just to check. Yes. Then we can be able to prioritize those bills. Regulations. We start from page 12 to page.
Yeah, to page 13.
I think I take what Honorable Craig is saying, that we will not finalize everything today, but probably just to...
Yes, just to look at it.
Yeah.
Yes. But, Jefferson, the page 13 is very important to see that the regulation, because we have already passed the bill. That regulation on hogs, we have to look at it, because it will take us a long time. We have to make sure that if it reaches us as early as possible, it will be better for us to understand it, because it's a lot of things that has to be go into that regulation. Thanks, sir.
Okay. But I think not even past the bill of this bill, I mean this bill we are processing, because surely there will be a number of regulations from this very bill that we're processing, safety exports and recreational living.
Yes.
Whether it's going to come now or later, but of course those legal advisors indicated that already they are drafting regulations. Okay, policy review. That's from page 14 to
page 16.
Yeah, to page 16.
I would almost like to suggest the
same approach that we suggested with the legislation. And, you know, one thing in terms of policy review is that we never actually do a review. You know, they finish one policing plan, and then they change it with a new plan, but nobody has evaluated the previous plan to see where's the flaws, where are the successes, you know, how do you address those, and how do you carry over in a new plan. So, exactly. You know, so let's take sector policing, for instance. They might come in half a year's time and tell us sector policing is not working, we want to do something else. But at that point, one needs to talk about sector policing. What was it that worked? What didn't work? Why didn't it work? What do you need to make it work? You know, those sorts of things. So I'm saying two things. The one is I would suggest the same approach as with legislation, that the chairperson finds out from the Secretary of Police what is the policy issues on the table, that we prioritize our own that we want. But then the second thing, that we actually start doing proper policy reviewing of police plans, but also policy plans.
Yes.
Especially this thing is with serious things, which some of us are very concerned. This thing of three committees. You don't have to answer to us, otherwise we don't agree with it.
Some of us.
We don't agree with it.
It's a very good word, some of us.
Well, the majority, I'm talking on behalf of citizens.
You know, Chairperson, when you talk about scrutinizing and recommended annual budget for the Secretariat, I always feel embarrassed because I'm not quite sure in this new Parliament, but we had a very problematic history about this thing. We always have a good fight, and we end up not understanding each other. I think when we are sorry that we are loading you, but your secretary and your researcher must assist you on this, because when they come here, we must know. You see, the problem I face is that every now and then, when they are coming to ask for a budget, there are things or two that we don't understand. And they always go back and say they are going to think about it and give us the documents and so on. Most of the time. I don't want us to fight with them every now and then. Every session we are fighting with them. No. But let us clear the matter now. If they are coming to present sort of a budget or whatever, scrutinizing anything which concerns the budget, they must know in and out of what is going on. Because that's a problem with them, with the secretary, especially the secretariat. It gives us a lot of problems. Therefore, if we can add to your agenda with the secretary, your communication with the secretary, when they are coming for this activity of the budget and analyzing of the budget, they must know that we are going to ask questions, and we'll be really asking questions.
That's one question, because I've never been answered. When is Krishna's budget around about October, September? What do you hope to achieve? Budget by that time is the processes are too advanced. In fact, the likelihood is because that's where the parliament, they were, that's where in the last 15 years they've been grappling with. Parliament wants to be involved in the formulation of budget. But does the parliament have personnel and the time to do what is required in formulating a budget? You see, because also the expertise that are there in the department, we don't have here. For instance, I see you've got two, three guys. If we want to be involved in budget, it means we're going to need a staff and everything. But most of the time, we meet the budget at a very advanced stage of its existence. And we can query and say, you know, we're not happy. You see, but if you look at this time now, the budget is being prepared now, finalized. It's not talking about still drafting. So I'm just saying, probably we do. I know there are many questions we've tried to answer on this issue, but probably we need some time and look at it. Where do we get involved in the budget? At what stage? What do we hope to achieve? Do we want to be part? That is what members of parliament have wanted. Is it practical?
I know members want to talk about everything, but at some stage we have to focus on
Chair, you know, when we are talking about a budget, we are talking about the priorities of a government. And we are talking about that department. What does that department seek to do in that category? In that 10 cents that they have, what they are going to do, how they are going to use the 5 cents out of this 10 cents, who's going to get the rest of the 10 cents, how they are going to get it. That's the only way that we can deal with it, because to be involved in preparation for budget, it starts this year for next year. They've already, as Mr. George is saying, they've already finalized it for next year. But we want to know that in the 10 cents that they have, how much they have already used and how much is left, and why so much is left and why so much was used and who got it and so on and so forth. Those are the things that we want to talk about, which they always run away with. Sometimes you don't get an answer correctly, and they tell you that we will come back and tell you these things and we will give you documentation on that and so on and so forth. Only to find that the Auditor General hits you back with the Auditor General and saying this section is not doing well, when we have asked the question and didn't get the answer. That's what I'm trying to say when we are dealing with the budget. Not to scrutinize, not to formulate it as per se, but to ask them, we have been given this 10 cents. How did you use it and where it is now and what for?
Just one thing. All right, this secretariat, I think anyone's going to argue it's totally dysfunctional, hugely expensive waste of time. But could we at least call it or rename it so that it's not left in the dark ages, still referring to safety and security? I think that one is a constitutional matter. As a matter of fact, in the constitution it says civilian secretariat of police.
Yes.
That's what the constitution
yes.
says.
Yes.
So I should think we better stick to the correct naming as it is on the constitution. Civilian secretariat of police, that's how it is in the constitution. So it will be very difficult to change because it actually means...
They are not doing their job now. Their job is done by somebody else in the department, especially the department of legal, Directorate of Legal Services.
Yeah, but take into consideration that we now have a new secretary appointed. And I think that's what we definitely have to
look at
to know.
We
have to invite the new secretariat to come before the committee to tell us what his responsibilities are and take it from there. Yeah, I think we can do it that way. And then, of course, we are now on page 18. Page 18 up to page 24. Yes. I would like to suggest adding in here on the very first one, where it says conduct oversight over SAPs, the KPI, I would suggest adding in there, you know, it says, okay, annual reports, budgets, et cetera, consider the ICD reports, because the ICD comes out with very detailed reports on the state of police cells, implementation of DVA, and crimes committed by SAPS members. So I think that has to be a series of reports that we actually focus on in that group.
You're on page 18.
Okay, yeah.
On the cybersecurity on page 24, one of the other things we discussed in our group was how slowly applications are processed. And I think we need to include that somewhere. So the cycle of the process, the administrative process, to ensure that members of the cybersecurity industry comply with, you know, that it's easier for them to comply, because it's taking too long for them to actually get their whatever they need to get, certificate or accreditation.
Anything else?
The point I want to raise is the issue of oversight visits. You know, if you look at on all these pages of just oversight visits, etc., and I think something that we do need to do is that we need to make sure that when we go on an oversight visit, we actually include all of these things in that particular visit to that province. Otherwise, it's going to be too many visits. I'm not too sure whether we can condense it somehow, but I'm just raising a point that we just need to note. The other thing is that you tend to find the time the end of the term, suddenly committees realize that they haven't been to certain provinces in that five-year term. And I know it's been an experience in committees that I've been in, and I think that... I think I would suggest that in terms of this document as well, that maybe we actually specify X number of provincial visits per year, so that we can actually make sure we get to these provinces, and perhaps even try and do a second round as well before 2040. That's the point I want to make.
Asked me to ask this question, close position and the remuneration policy. Who is going to do that? On page 20.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chairperson, thank you very much for Mr. to ask the question. You know, skills retention and remuneration includes bargaining chambers and so on and so forth. It's a very important thing. That's why the police shoot at the ANDF, because of this, and the retention of the skills and so on. This is very important when the national commissioner when the national commissioner visits us every now and then to ask this question. Why am I prioritizing these things? It's because every now and then, from April, is it April to July when the negotiations are? April to July, something like that. April to July when the negotiations of all trade unions and bargaining chambers are. Most of the things happen there. It's the same thing with the police again. It's the same thing with everybody. Therefore, we should know prior to April, Where what is the position of the subsidies on this matter? Because that's where the problem is. That's where they are losing a lot of equipment resource from the science laboratory to somebody else because of that. Those skills that are being needed somewhere else. Therefore, every now and then we should prioritize that when the national commissioner arrives. But every now and then, immediately after the official opening of parliament, we should, before they go to bargaining chambers, we must be careful of understanding. We want to know where they are, the position of where they are, and how are they bargaining on these matters? Because it takes a long time, and it cripples the department at the end of the day. Thank you very much.
Okay, I agree that we need to look at that, but I would also suggest that what we do at some point in time is look at the salary scales of subs. Because the fact of the matter is that we are under a very skewed impression. The SAP salaries are really, at this stage, significantly better than any other state departments. And I'm not talking about your forensics and those things. I mean, I'm not talking about your specialized skills. I'm talking about SAPs in general. And I think we need to start asking management, what happens with the money that are allocated for salary increases, for special dispensation, etc.? Because my feeling more and more is that it ends up at management level, and it's not reaching the police officer on the street. So while I'm supporting what Mr. Ndlovu is saying, I also say we've got to be careful and do our own homework first before we enter into this exercise, because there's definitely... in my short previous life, I've worked with contracts now in between phases, and I can tell you that there are as much as 200,000 rand difference at certain salary levels between the rest of the State Department and the police. So I think we must just do our own exercises before. Okay.
I think what we need to look at, I agree with Annelies. The problem at the moment is those special skills. And that one is the problem. It's not easy. You see, for instance, forensic laboratory and all that is very difficult. You see, I'm talking from defense. We tried. Because the problem in those skills, you compete with private sector. Mm. You compete with international countries. The other way, there are two ways. One is money, but that money alone, you can't. You will not win because you will not afford to compete with private sector and international. The other one is a contract. Because fortunately, these people, they go through training with you. The only thing I don't know where the Constitution will put us is most of them in SAPS and in defense. If you train them for 5 years, you say they must work for you for 5 years. But there has been this thing that if they want to get out within that 5 years, you buy them out. That is where the problem is. Either you make that money very huge, so that because it costs you money to train them. Because what happens if you make that money very little? For instance, the last time it was about 750,000 rand. If 750,000 is very easy for a company to give you 700,000, or even a million, give you a million and take the skill, when you actually fact you have spent more than a million in training this person. So I'm saying when we look at this thing, I agree, we need to have it. I don't know the researchers, where they are here. They must research all this thing in so that when we prevent it, we talk as a full package, but we must understand the difficulties. And I'm talking more these special skills we need, like forensic and all those things, because their competition is very tight.
Okay. It would seem like we are covering that one, so I think we'll pick this up so that it's part of our package. Anything on oversight before we move on to strategic relations? And therefore, on page 25 now. Strategic relations. Anything we want to add there? If there is nothing, I think that's all. But I can't see anything on this document that talks to international relations.
Oh.
I think that is just maybe that one addition to goal and then under activities. Not only relations to select committees, etc., but also to international equivalents, so we can hear how they do it elsewhere, look for international best practice. I think that should be added.
You guys are looking for a visit somewhere. I can see that. They are preparing a desk. Doctor, don't go there. Don't go there.
I don't know. There will always be issues that are referred to us by other committees, particularly SCOPA. I don't know how we're going to accommodate them. For instance, they've referred issues such as officials who are getting tenders within the government and not following procedures. These are the things that are referred to us. I don't know whether we can also accommodate that in way. I'm not sure. I'm just mentioning them.
Are they not covered under Access Development Guidelines for the committees to on interaction with other committees on matters relating to any other disciplinary approach to safety?
Okay.
I think they are covered there.
Okay.
Yes.
No, members, I think that we are done with this one. I should think in a way we then will be able to deal with this. And I think there was a suggestion, in fact, seconded, that we then don't finalize it today. We take it to our study groups. That's how we feel, or wherever we look into this, we prioritize, we come back, we then talk to this document. But I think it's important to say thank you for this.
Sorry, Chairperson. Can we change this prioritize? Can we agree as a committee? Because we have identified secretariat, we have identified national commissioner, something like that. Can we request you? Because you see, we can prioritize on our own of what we want, but at the end of the day, we cannot. We must be realistic. We mustn't hit a wall. They must tell us what is in the basket, so that when we have a basket, then we are sitting backwards and say, this is what we want, this from the basket. Now we're taking from the basket. I think that would be better off than to start looking at this document and prioritize it on our own and go to them and we're hitting the wall. That's how I look in, on the practical sense. It's a good relationship to say, come here, what is in your basket? And then they give us 10 things. Then you, out of these 10, you sit back and say, no, you start by this one now, up to this number 10. I think that's the way how we should do it, if we can agree with that. But it doesn't take us to, it doesn't take our chances of looking at the document and seeing which one, if they come up with, to look at it. I'm trying to promote the good relationship within the department and the stakeholders so that we understand exactly of how we're dealing with this matter. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think Mr. Shofu is repeating what we said. I think he was out at the time.
Oh.
The fact that the chairperson can, in the meantime, be communicating with the secretariat. We can also invite him to come, blah, blah, blah. But we will actually be prioritizing as informed.
Sure.
You know, yes. Thanks. But also as different members, we will be able to look into these documents because we already have them here. Some they don't need any consultation or interaction with the secretariat. We will be able to deal with this and see those things that are probably not in this document. I think also we can then agree that the secretary will have to add some of the things that we've agreed upon with here, so that maybe during the course of the week we're able to get an updated document and we can take it from there when we meet, at least we have something, you know, to look into. Okay. Thank you very much, members. I think this is how we are therefore concluding this discussion on this draft portfolio committee threat plan. We have the legislation that we are processing, members, safety at sports and recreational events bill. For those that are joining us now, we are done with hearings in Parliament, and we are now to go to provinces because it is a bill that also affects provinces, even municipalities for that matter. And according to plan, we are going to have two groups. We have identified five provinces. It's Western Cape, KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and Free State. And we will be two committees. In fact, we are two committees that are processing this bill, ourselves and Sports and Recreational Recreation Portfolio Committee. Starting from the 9th, in fact, the 8th, on the 8th, we'll have to leave Parliament for KZN and, of course, Parliament for Free State as well. So the other group will be leaving on the 8th to Free State, and the other one will be going to KZN. We have identified two days and therefore two municipalities in each province, that is Free State and KZN. And then for Eastern Cape, it will be three municipalities and two municipalities in Gauteng. And that will be on the 9th, 10th in KZN and 14th and 16th in the other provinces. We therefore have divided the members so that other members from this portfolio committee join the Free State Gauteng team and the other members join the KZN and Eastern Cape a team. And then when we come back, we then together ourselves and the Sports and Recreation Portfolio Committee go to Western Cape. Initially it was that we'll go to Western Cape first, but the logistics are such that it's not possible. So we'll go to KZN and after the four provinces, then we'll come back to Western Cape. We therefore have divided members like this. Comrade Chairperson Sibiti Kunga will lead the delegation to KZN and Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape and KZN. There's a team that goes to Eastern Cape and KZN, and a team that goes to Gauteng and Free State. It shouldn't be changed. Mm-hmm. On the 9th and 10th, the two teams will be in Free State and in KZN. And that is why you have the two provinces there.
Okay.
Yes. So on those days, 9 and 10, the other team will be in Free State. The other team will be in KZN.
Okay.
Yes. So both teams will leave Parliament on the 8th. And arrive in these two provinces on the 8th, sleep over there, and start their work on the 9th in those provinces, that is Free State and KZN. From this portfolio committee, Sindithi Kunga will go to KZN together with Molibatsi, Honorable Nongonyane, Honorable Annelise, Honorable Kola Banat, Honorable George, Honorable Ndlovu. And then Honorable Dube, Honorable Lekgetho, Honorable Mochumi, Honorable Sneman, Honorable Chafer, Honorable Groenewald, and Honorable Reverend Mishwe, they will join the group that goes to Free State and later to Gauteng. The following week, which is on the 14th and 16th, I want to believe that we'll also leave Parliament if it will be Parliament on the 13th, so that we put up in the provinces there. That will be Eastern Cape for the other team, and the other team will be Gauteng. And we are going to do our work. The team that will be in the Eastern Cape will take 3 days. That will be 14, 15, and 16, and thereafter fly back to Cape Town or to their respective home places. Or stay in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
the group that goes to Gauteng will go to will leave Parliament or wherever on the 13th and put up in Gauteng, so that on the 14th and 16th they visit the municipalities there. Then we'll come back the following week, then we'll go to Western Cape, all of us together. Yes, for Gauteng it's 2 days. It will be 14 and 15 days. Yes, Gauteng. And then for the team that goes to Western Cape, it is 3 days. So it's 14, 15, 16, but we of course will leave on the 13th. Also, I think I must also indicate to members that we have invited the department to come and brief the portfolio committee on the implications, resource implications of this bill, and that will be next week on Tuesday. So before we leave, the department will be here to brief us on whether you talk about human resources, whether you talk about financial resources, or whatever resources for the debt. The department will come and brief the committee so that as we go to provinces, we have a picture as to what the department, I mean, this bill is going to affect the department, because I think it will affect the department. That will be next week on Tuesday. Members will be informed about venue and so on and so forth. I think that is that, members, unless there's something else outstanding. I want to thank members for their contribution. We will meet next week on Tuesday. We will indeed try to ensure that members get documents timelessly, but that our meeting sit on Tuesday. I think sometimes we have to use our technology so that in an event the department delays or whatever entity that we invite to our meetings takes long to give us documents or to forward documents to all of us, we're able to email whatever document that comes in. So we'll request members to complete this form so that the secretary can have details, and we therefore can be able to use technology. I think that is all from me. Thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. You left your thing.